This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon and welcome to hour number two. You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, across from Tropicana Field, brought to you by our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily down there on Blind Pass Road in the Intercoastal, about a block and a half from the Gulf of Mexico, where Monday night we'll have Big Monday, and that'll be Alex Reba, myself, Joe Geiger will be down there and delivering the NFL, PGA, NBA, College, MLB, you name it, we'll be touching it on Big Monday down there, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka as well. Of course, all our segments in the high school realm are brought to you by Body Armor, Coca-Cola, and we've got some exciting news coming down the road here in the next few weeks as I've been efforting and getting accomplished some more great sponsors to all of the things we're doing. Ben Botham sitting across from me, baseball Ben Botham, for a minute here, he'll be betting Ben Botham, but right now you want to go over any scores there, young man, Joe Geiger. You've been covering this soccer diligently all week long, so why don't you give us a few of the high school scores in the world of soccer as the playoffs are upon us.
Of course, so the district championships finished up this weekend, so we have a list here of district champions from throughout the Tampa St. Pete area. We will start with boys soccer. We have about eight districts here that we've been keeping an eye on, and 5A District 9, the championship game was between number 1 Osceola and number 2 Northeast, where Osceola won 4-1, their 5A District 9 champs. 4A District 11 saw number 1 Booker and number 2 Robinson, where Robinson upsetting them 1-0 to become 4A District 11 champions. The 7A District 7 championship was between number 1 Palm Harbor and number 2 Steinbrenner, where Palm Harbor University Hurricanes beat them 3-1 in the 7A District 7 championship. 6A District 10 championship game was between number 1 Largo and the number 3 Sickles. Sickles came out on top in penalty kicks by a final score. They end up winning that game 1-0. 5A District 8 Jesuit with Mercy ruling number 2 Freedom 8-0. 3A District 7, number 1 Tampa Prep beat number 2 Berkeley Prep 2-0. 2A District 10, number 1 Bradenton Christian beat Keswick Christian 2-1. 4A District 9, number 4 Anclote beat number 2 Dunedin 4-2. And in 6A District 9, number 1 Mitchell fell to number 2 Sunlake 1-0. They're both top 10 in the Tampa area. And then moving on. Same districts for the girls' soccer. 5A District 9, number 2 Seminole upset number 1 Seminole 4-2 in penalty kicks to win 5A District 9. 4A District 11, number 1 Robinson beat Boca Ciega 6-0 to become 4A District 11 champs. 6A District 10, number 1 Sickles beat number 3 Largo, Mercy ruling them 8-0 to become 6A District 10 champs. 7A District 7, our PCAC champion actually fell in their district to number 2 Steinbrenner, as Steinbrenner beat them 2-1 to win 7A District 7. 5A District 8, between number 1 Spoto and number 3 Freedom, Freedom beating them 3-0. 3A District 7, between Berkeley Prep and Calvary, where Berkeley Prep came out on top 2-1. 2A District 10, between number 1 Indian Rocks and number 2 St. Stephens, St. Stephens the 2 seed, beating Indian Rocks 2-0. And 4A District 9, number 1 Dunedin and number 3 Golf, went into penalty kicks, tied at 0. Dunedin came out on top 3-2 in PKs. And lastly, 6A District 9, number 1 Sunlake lost to number 3 Eastlake as the Eastlake Eagles won 3-2 to win 6A District 9.
He's Joe Geiger. Tell the people how they can hear you on Fridays on FloridaSportsStreams.com. And, of course, our social media that we put our high school conversations on.
Fridays from noon to 2 o'clock. Listen on the Tampa or the Florida Sports Stream on Radio St. Pete, the Bump That Media Radio talk show, me and Gavin Van Dyke on there every weekend, every week talking high school sports and just an array of sports on there. And follow the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. covering, you know, from the peewees to the preps to the pros.
You guys do a superb job as well. And now in our Body Armor conversation, Brad Richardson, he'll be on the call in the All-American Bowl up at he'll be on the PA, which he does a superb job with the Seminole Warhawks for all their sports activities. It's a good day. It's a good day for the Seminole Warhawks. You just talked about your soccer girls, your basketball team with a superb upset last night at Gibbs.
Yeah, the girls did amazing. They did a great job. Everyone was happy to see them that day in school. So shout out to the whole soccer team as well. I got several of them in my classes.
Well, Brad, as I said, he will be up there at the All-American Bowl in Zephyr Hills tonight. And how are you, my friend? You got a few moments to talk about tonight's game. And of course, did you hear the news? That unbelievable win. I saw the shot. Go to our Facebook. Did you see that you and I, we followed that Gibbs team. Who ever thought your Seminole Warhawks would beat them in triple overtime at Gibbs? Home of the Gladiators. Unbelievable.
For the first ever PCAC championship in Seminole history.
That's big. That's big.
Well, hang on. Let me slow you down there for a second. So let me just say this. This game was a revenge game for Seminole. Let's think back to this, okay? In the season, they played them, and Seminole lost to Gibbs 58-39. So the favor wasn't too good for Seminole going into this game. However, you know, we all saw what happened. During this game, it went into triple overtime, obviously, and then right at the buzzer, big three-pointer by Dominic Leed to absolutely just shock Gibbs. I mean, it was not – this game, I'll be 100% honest, was not meant to be a win for Seminole, but look what happened. Anything can happen in high school sports, especially in basketball.
Well, you and I, we saw this Gibbs team play up there at the Sunbash tournament, and arguably one of the best, most athletic games I've ever seen was Blake and Gibbs do battle. And then we interviewed, had a conversation with a youngster from St. Xavier in Louisville, and then I asked the coach off mic what he thought of Gibbs, and he said in the state of Kentucky, the bluegrass state where basketball is you know, the Bible essentially, that they would be in the top five in the state. Remember that conversation?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So you know, it's
a memorable night for you Seminoles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking back at that game, I mean, unfortunately, the boys' season is done. But for the girls, obviously, just coming back around and winning the game that they did, it was supposed to be obviously in favor of Osceola. So, I mean, Osceola was the number one team in the district going forward and during these playoffs. So, you know, it's penalty kicks. That's what ultimately determined the win in the end, was that's how Seminole beat them, more or less. So, of course, next week they're going to play the Mariner Titans. That's going to be a big one for them. So, going forward, we'll see how they do.
Well, things are bright in the Seminole Warhawk world there, boys. You guys got to be proud alum, and you're in the trenches in the world of baseball. Hey, so when do basketball playoffs start?
They actually start next week.
That's what I thought.
Time flies,
man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if Ben described to you what the PCAC, or even Joe described what the PCAC game is. Basically, it's the top teams in North and South that will face off for that game. So the number one will face off. Obviously, Gibbs had that, and, of course, Seminole had that. That's how that game works. It's an athletic conference game. So it's a game that, in a lot of ways, doesn't count more going into like district standing. It just counts mainly for bragging rights and also to a nice trophy that they can hoist up. So,
and Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a three-way tie to get into this game against Gibbs?
Correct. Yes.
Who are the schools, and do you know how the tie is broken?
The tie is basically broken by really it's by obviously the schools they play in the district, but also by ranking. That's how it's broken, believe it or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so the other team, I know Eastlake was one of the other schools. Do you know who the third was?
I thought it was Osceola, I think, was one of them. It was Osceola, and then probably Largo was the other one, if I had to take a guess.
I know Eastlake was there, so I guess Osceola must have been the other one.
Yeah, so that was, I know, yeah, there was a three-way tie on that. I'm very well aware of that.
Go ahead.
Hello.
So it was a great matchup, and
were you there, Benny?
Unfortunately, I was not. I was handling baseball practice. You know, baseball got out around 8 o'clock. I was not expecting the basketball game to go into triple overtime.
You weren't anticipating a Warhawk win, both of you.
Hey, anytime a Warhawk gets on a court, on a field, or in the classroom, there's a good chance that they're going to get a W.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love that school pride, boys. I really do. Hey, let's talk about tonight. What do you know about this All-Star game, this All-American? According to John Ruggles, we got kids from all over the country coming, huh?
Yeah, just real quick, too, I want to point one last thing out with basketball. I don't know if you heard about this or not. In terms of boys basketball, Calvary Christian, Ace Taylor, who joined us for an interview during the Sun Bash from Calvary, he was able to get his 1,000-point milestone his senior year.
Well, he'll be playing in somebody's program next winter, hopefully, at the collegiate level, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the best one.
I love his name, first of all.
Yeah, but here's another one. Our good friend, Marcus Pascal. His daughter, Michaela, also achieved her 1,000-point milestone, and she's only a junior.
I know. I talked to Marcus. You know, he's a graduate of the University of Iowa, and he's taken Kayla. We had her down here, and he has taken Kayla up there, University of Iowa, and got to meet Caitlin Clark. Marcus was a two-time Big Ten defensive back. You've heard the story. He was done with us.
Yeah.
And great guy. And she wants to go to Iowa, and she wears the University of Iowa Hawkeye hoodies all the time. Just a great young lady. And I follow them closely on Facebook. She is the player, I'm telling you right now. So I'm glad you brought that up, Bradley.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, you were asking about the Elevated Mission All-American Senior Bowl. There's 80 talented athletes from all over the country that are coming down to this. They'll be at Zephyr Hills Christian. It's going to be coaches and college scouts that are come out to watch these guys battle it out on the field. Two teams that are going to be out there. One's called Team Power. The other one's called Team Purpose. Obviously, John Ruggles, shout out to him for putting this together. But, you know, it's interesting. Some of the other states that are in this, they're from all over, like such as Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. I mean, they're from all over the country coming down. And actually, right now, there's two players that are being standouts from Pinellas County. They're going to this. George Stamos from Tarpon Springs will be playing, as well as Brandon Lincoln from Countryside. So there's obviously going to be a few more Pinellas County players. I am waiting for the rosters to come from John, so I'll be able to tell more later on that.
All right, well, we look forward to you giving us a recap next week. So baseball's starting out. You'll be on the call up there at Seminole. And let's get a little preview from one of the assistant coaches. What do you guys look like this year?
We're looking really good this year. We have some really good talent, a lot of guys signing.
Some senior leadership?
We have some great senior leadership. We have about 10 guys returning seniors here, and some wonderful talent also coming up the pipeline as well. Especially in the pitching realm of things. That's one great thing about Seminole is Seminole's always been known for its pitching. We've always been able to have those guys.
Pitching wins championships, right, pitcher?
Pitching certainly does. You know, we have a little bit of an arm barn going on.
What do you call it?
The arm barn.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's looking really well. Of course, one of our seniors, Kendall Hoffman, he signed a Division I scholarship to Houston State. And
University of Houston.
Oh, is it University of Houston State?
He's going to be a Cougar?
University of Houston.
Okay.
He's a Cougar. That's big time.
Yep.
That's in the Big 12 now, baby.
Oh, yeah. He's going there. And then also Alex Espelot. He's going to Alabama. What was it, Brad? Alabama what?
South Alabama.
South Alabama.
And that's a good program in itself.
Yeah. So we have those two big signees there. And those are going to be two of our major leaders on this team of Alex.
You know why you guys have an arm barn? Because you have rich tradition.
It's certainly right.
You got a feeder system.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something these other schools aspire to have.
Yeah, it's right great. There? Like right now, we have a freshman team. We have a JV style team with the Nats program.
You got a freshman team?
Yeah, with the that is affiliated with the Nats, and we're able to have those guys come around and be able to be somewhat a part of the program to participate and kind of be close to these guys. So that way, once their time comes,
kind of like Port Charlotte. You guys are like Port Charlotte.
Yeah, once they're finally able to come up to the varsity team, they already know how things are done, the traditions. Of course, they met Brad. You know, they kind of learn all the ins and outs of Seminole High School baseball. And it's a really good system that Adam Moravec is running there at Seminole High School.
Well, and bringing alumni like you that have emotional equity in the program, that certainly happens. I'm not just saying that because you're my friend, you're sitting across from me. And then you got the voice, and you don't give them a call. You don't impress them with your call until they're proving themselves, do you, Bradley?
Pretty much. They got to work their way up.
That's right, baby. You don't give them the call until they work their way up and prove themselves to merit a call from Brad Richardson on the PA, right?
Oh yeah, you have to earn.
I can't believe you had Billy Joel as your music.
Who else was? Oh, by the way, Mike,
he's coming.
By the way, not only is he coming here with Sting, who I saw the Police. That was my first concert ever. So. An amazing combo.
I'm thinking about going, but they're about five bills.
They're crazy. And what I'm looking forward to is, first of all, he released a new song, Mike.
First time in 17 years.
Turn the Lights Back On.
That's a great song.
And it's his first, like, real song since 1993 with The River of Dreams. Sure, he released some, you know, foo-foo kind of song that was, you know, a love song.
Ever since he and Christy split.
Yeah.
And now he's lost weight. He looks good.
He does look good. I mean, hey, Billy's staying with it. So I'm really happy with that song. Fingers crossed an album's coming, Mike. I know this isn't a music show, but I do love
Billy.
Hey,
what's the variety show?
And you know what? He plays in stadiums. That's where football's played. That's where baseball's played.
And he loves both sports.
He does.
He loves baseball.
So, hey, I think that counts. That'll squeeze us in.
I've been looking at those tickets. I was going to pull the trigger for Valentine's Day. And I go, man,
you're going to treat me for Valentine's Day,
Mike? Yeah, yeah.
That's awfully sweet of you.
Yeah, let me tell you something. My, you know what would be grass? Had I taken anyone of any gender different than the talented Terry, I'll just call her that in case she rewinds these to listen to see if I reference her per show. What was his song? Do you remember what song? I want to see if Brad remembers. What's Billy Joe's song did he play when he came in, Bradley?
When he came into attempt at pitching and all that.
Oh, I bet it was Pressure.
Yeah,
well,
I was going to answer it. I mean, what's this with beat me to the punch with everything today? Jeez. I was going to answer that
pressure. Pressure was my song in high school, and Brad always had it on deck. Hopefully it's still in the rotation. I got my fingers crossed it'll make an appearance sometime this season. But in college, I switched it up to Angry Young Man. So it came out to that blasting piano just going crazy.
Well, Angry Young Man could be used from time to time.
Here and there.
Because you're still a young man. So, Brad, you looking forward to the call tonight with these aspiring young college kids?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see the talent that's across the country. I mean, as we've always talked about in the past, Florida is a state where you can play sports year-round. It's drawn a lot of talent from all over the country to come down here and play. But when you get a chance to see some of these players that are coming down from states where these guys have already graduated, you get a chance to see what kind of coaching and talent is out there. Obviously, we're going to get a chance to see what coaches will be out there for certain schools. Obviously, some D1s are going to be out there, and obviously JUCOs and D2s will be. So it'll be an interesting experience.
Well, and it falls on the same weekend as the Senior Bowl that's being played as well. And I'm looking. That's one of the few bowl games like that I want to pay attention to. I do like the Senior Bowl because you get the cream of the crop down there in Montgomery, Alabama. And Michael Penix, of course, the Tampa Bay Tech graduate, Washington, he's playing in that game. So a lot of eyeballs from this area watching the Senior Bowl as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Bradley, any final parting statements, shots, info?
I mean, we kind of covered it already. I mean, right now it's interesting getting back to the Seminole and Gibbs game. I mean, right now Seminole is 14-7, ranked 118, and Gibbs is ranked 30 with a 20-4 record. it's going to be interesting to see how this win for Seminole is going to affect their ranking. It's really going to be interesting to see how much it'll shoot it up. That's one thing that's going to be interesting to find out on Wednesday when they release the updated standing.
Well, and it's on the road, too. That has a big factor, right?
Yeah, yes and no. But I think more just basically how they played Gibbs earlier in the season and then now how things have shifted, you know, for this game. So,
you know,
really, location really doesn't play a big factor into that in terms of standing. So,
gotcha. When we opened the show and Ben broke the news and showed me the video, I said, and it's Coach Mason, right, over there at Gibbs. I think that he will he'll kind of relish, not relish, but this is the time of year. If he wanted a loss to impact them, this is the time of year for it to happen, to wake these guys up. Exactly. I mean, they went off to, Ben said, to a 10-0 start and probably figured, hey, we're just going to blow these guys out the doors off out of our arena. And next thing you know, Seminole buckled down and played, obviously, it sounded like a controlled type of offense. Ben couldn't talk much basketball with me. Baseball's his forte.
I heard the buzzer go off. I'm usually doing that, Mike.
Oh, gotcha.
So I got that part.
Okay.
We were good.
Good man. But what kind of offense do they run? It sounds like they run a real controlled, you know, a lot of picks, get the right shots. And that's the play they ran at the end, because I watched it with some screaming mother who was ecstatic. You know, it was pretty impressive. But I'm sure he likes this wake-up call this time of the season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially with what he had to deal with during the Sun Bash. I mean, I think Blake was definitely, you know, one of the biggest obviously opponents that they were going to be facing all season, and obviously Blake and them will not be facing off in anything going forward in the playoffs. So this was the only time to really challenge themselves early on. Now they play Seminole, who, again, we thought was going to be a quick game for Gibbs, and this became the giant wake-up call, like, hey, we can't take anything for granted. This is what has happened. So don't go in thinking, oh, we beat them once. No problem. This is going to be quick and easy. Nope. It already was like, okay, guys, things are coming up. Time to get ready for the playoffs, and there's no moment for a screw-up.
Well, my friend, I know you got a busy night. I look forward to your report. Have fun on the call. Tell John Ruggles I said hello, and Coach Shank, they're ecstatic. And feel blessed that you're going to come up there and be on the PA tonight for this event. You know, they got a live streaming service, and you'll be part of that as well. So have a great call. Drive safe, and I'll talk to you on Monday. How's that?
That sounds good.
He's Brad Richardson, and of course, that's our Body Armor Prep Connection, brought to you by our good friends at the U.S. Marines as well, and Body Armor and Coca-Cola. We've got some exciting news coming around the pike covering high school sports. So what do you got now as we shift gears again?
Well, Mike, I was, you know, complaining a smidge about this weather. You know, it's a little bit cold, but did you see our good friend Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, so it looks like we're going to have an early spring.
I saw that. And in Des Moines, Iowa, they call it, it's Polk County. Polk County, what's his name?
Punxsutawney. Punxsutawney Phil.
They convert it to Polk County. Oh. And Polk County Phil. And they have it at this bar that you would love. It's called the Miller High Life. Kenny and Sherry, thanks for stopping by and making a cameo appearance. Here comes our man, Alex Reba, but they call it the Polk County Phil. And it's the Miller High Life Bar.
Oh, big fan.
They've got
already off to a good start.
They've got all the old beers from back in the day. They've got any hors d'oeuvre, you know, deviled eggs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, really old school. The decor, I spent some fun Groundhog Days there, I can assure you that.
Oh, I believe it. Well, people were complaining about Punxsutawney's accuracy, saying that he has an accuracy rate of 39% going back to 1887.
He flunked meteorology school.
But hold on, Mike. We look at Ty Cobb, and he batted 366. He's a legend, best to ever do it. Punxsutawney Phil been playing this game since 1887. he's doing pretty darn good. He's Hall of Famer.
What's his winning percentage, I guess, is the bottom line, right?
39%. He's batting 390? Come on. Put him in the Hall of Fame. He's great.
Only you would find a stat like that, or an Alex Rebo, you guys in your analytics. So what was that prop bet that you said that you are looking at, your first prop bet for the Super Bowl?
Let's take a look. I got the Hard Rock Bet app pulling up right now. The only legal betting in Florida right now.
Thank you, man.
So let's see here. I'm still waiting on a few of them to pay off. I have some most touchdown scorers and things like that going on. Let's see. I have right here. First one I placed was any quarter to be scoreless. That was plus 300. I put $10 down to win 40.
First quarter.
You think first quarter? Hey, that'd be a great way to start off.
I mean, if I was going that direction.
Hey, I got my fingers crossed. Hopefully that happens. I also did 49ers. So I was kind of hedging my bet a little bit, trying to cover myself here. I said 49ers to score most points in each quarter. That was plus 2,500. So that's $5 to win 130. And then I did the same for the Chiefs. Same odds, same everything. Just kind of cover my butt a little bit just in case, you know.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, when Alex is talking about odds, bets,
yeah,
I'll get you a piece of paper here.
Okay.
And you write down.
Jot them down.
The information.
Okay.
Because you have been miserable
the last
3 weeks. You started out on this high. I was telling somebody at the bar about you the other day. I said, yeah, because he's ecstatic. Yeah, I'm going to do this parlay and that parlay and this parlay. I go, do you know what the odds on those parlays? The guy didn't have, he's clueless.
Yeah.
And I said, you won a parlay the first time, right?
I won a couple.
Yeah, you won a couple and then you thought, this is easy money.
I was like Rain Man over there.
Yeah, not so much, my friend.
Oh, it quickly bit me in the butt.
Exactly. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Alex Rebo, Big Monday. We're going to talk about Monday night show down at Sea Dogs Brewery. And then we're going to talk anything from the NFL. I even prepared for the NBA. College basketball, as I said in the opening. Two great games. Battle of Top Tens today take place. You've got Houston and Kansas in the Big 12. And then the ACC matchup. Tobacco Road, North Carolina, Duke, and that's a game that I have been blessed to be at, and it's an electric environment, even if you're not a fan, but you like college basketball, it's a must-watch. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. Hello,
time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace-spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back as we wind things down on this 3rd of February. Of course, a couple of weeks till Fan Fest. I know something that Ben is excited about at the Trop right across the street here. Last week, we survived the Royal Rumble, if you will. 48,000 crazies down here. When I left here last week, you left early. Oh, hey, I never got a. You both went to Gasparilla. I never got any Gasparilla updates. But to see your smiling faces this morning tells me things were okay. Everything was okay, and no one went to jail.
Yes, no one got arrested. That's all that matters.
No one got arrested.
Yeah.
Did you get over there?
I did make it over there. My
I can't believe you went since you had that gang of goons. I'm going to call your friends goons.
Yeah.
Based on the report you gave me from Friday night.
Yeah. My wonderful mother put us all into the back seat.
Oh my God.
Drove us
the over lovely
there.
Miss Judy delivered you to the gates of hell.
She certainly did, and we walked for miles. And
you needed to walk.
Yeah. We walked. It was a good time. I got plenty of beads. I was a happy camper. Trying to get home, though, was probably one of the worst experiences of my life. Waiting for 3 hours. Of course, we called my wonderful mother again.
Oh, but, God. She's a saint.
Yeah, she certainly is. Saved
your
us.
Your dad, Kevin, is a blessed man.
Yeah. So, but we all made it back home safe and sound. I think I'm going to spend the rest of my Gasparillas at Ferg's, though. I don't think I want to go back to Tampa. There's a reason why I stay on this side of the bay.
I have talked to three poor individuals that work over in Tampa, live over here, and guess what they got a dose of? The Gasparilla traffic and the Royal Rumble traffic. You got 48,000. Plus, you have to throw in the fact that the Lightning were at home, which I can't believe in their scheduling that they actually had that as a game. And I didn't reach out to Paul Porter, the voice, to get an answer. I mean, that just sounded like ludicrous. But it was great, as you said, from a marketing perspective. However, from a traffic jam situation, how was your experience? Uplifting? Will you do it again?
Yeah, definitely do it again. You got to do it. It's the ultimate Tampa celebration. I had some friends from out of town come in. They loved it. They said they want to be back next year. We had great weather. I mean, it was
ideal weather.
People were like complaining it was too hot, but after my first Gasparilla when it was like 40 degrees a couple of years ago, that was perfect. The sun was beautiful out. I mean, yeah, nice little breeze off the bay coming in. I think did you hear how many people actually ended up coming into Tampa? They estimate?
I did not. I was focused on here, and I left here when I got here at 9. There was people wondering if we were open.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left at 2:30, I looked at Mark and I said, "I'm out. I'm not doing this deal." Wasn't feeling on my A game, and take the Yankees, Red Sox, and Phillies all combined. And that's what you would have had here, like a pregame. It was that nuts. We had the food trucks. You saw that. And we had the band. Wild. Anyway, enough of that. That's the past. Well, we do need to talk a little bit about the past. As far as this Super Bowl matchup, Alex Reba, your opinion, did you predict this as the matchup when the Final Four? I think a lot of people did. I was concerned about the Chiefs going to Baltimore. And I did think that Detroit would go into San Francisco and put up a heck of a fight at the end of that first quarter, as you and I were conversing back and forth with the Big O. I certainly didn't see that kind of a start, though, for the Lions. But I think we got who a lot of people anticipated would be in the Super Bowl.
I disagree with that assessment. I think everyone faded Patrick Mahomes. I think everyone's surprised this Chiefs team is in the Super Bowl.
I said light in my world. Liked, not predicted.
Well, that's my point, though. I mean, you can like Patrick Mahomes, but this was the year that everyone finally doubted him. And Vegas doubted him. They were underdogs.
In Buffalo as well.
In Buffalo and in Baltimore. And I think with good reason. There was, I mean, going back to, I have a couple friends from Kansas City. They went to that Oakland Raiders game over Christmas weekend. That Chiefs team did not look like a team that would be playing in the Super Bowl. We've seen drops from top key playmakers throughout this season. We've seen a lack of efficiency on their offensive side of the ball. Now, their defenses look great. Pundits have speculated that the defense could be what could carry this team to a Super Bowl, and that's just not the way it's supposed to work when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. But time and time again, he's proven himself to be great. And again, that win against the Ravens was by no means the Tyreek prime Kelce years in which that offense was unstoppable. The defense made huge stops. We saw Lamar Jackson seem to fall apart in the second half, which has been his bugaboo in the playoffs time and time again, not being able to step up when the lights were the brightest. And ultimately, yeah, Patrick Mahomes did what he needed to do. He found key targets. He started to find a reliable wide receiver in Rashee Rice. Kelce has come forward. He was looking slow at many points during the season, but he's looked rejuvenated in his playoffs.
By a big margin.
Exactly. And here we are. Since Patrick Mahomes has been a quarterback starting in the NFL, he's played in every conference championship of his career, and now he's in the Super Bowl for the fourth time out of the last 5 years. I mean, that
amazing.
Is absolutely mind-blowing. And he was one Tom Brady roughing the passer away from being in the Super Bowl again.
I forgot about that.
Years ago. So there's already conversations being had. If he wins a Super Bowl after this weekend, is he in the top five greatest of all time if he just had the resume he has right now? And I think there's a very strong argument to be made because he's in that Montana element right now with how much success he's had at such a young part of his career, how many stats he's already breaking, how fantastic he has looked through this point of his career. What do you think about that assessment?
Well, if he adds that back-to-back, he joins that company anyway.
Exactly.
And that's the reality. It was going back to Bart Starr in 66, 67, to Joe Montana, of course, Tom Brady, but he joins that fraternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think he is, simply put, going to go down as the second greatest quarterback of all time. I still think it's going to be absolutely impossible to break Tom Brady's record in terms of longevity, in terms of statistical body of work. I'm a big body of work guy. That's why I'm a LeBron guy. I think what he's been able to do over the course of his career outweighs what Michael Jordan did in short bursts of his career, which both were, I mean, we're splitting hairs about two greats here. But if anyone is able to even come close to Tom Brady, it will be Patrick Mahomes, since he's been able to accomplish so many feats of and accolades at such a young part of his career. But it's gonna take a lot to sustain that, which is why
he's 28 years old. So he's got a lot of game left.
Yes, he does have a lot of game left, and he's showing no signs of slowing down. But he's gonna start to lose guys around him: Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, guys we've already seen Tyreek Hill depart. Some of the key players that he's relied on that's got him there. It's gonna be out of his hands at a certain point if he wants to continue this dynasty and elongate it. Because we've seen a lot of dynasties fall apart eventually. Just it happens.
Well, and that's the thing that's so impressive about Tom Brady. Look at the cast of support he had, mm-hmm. and the diversity in it, and this, it was a plug-and-play situation, essentially.
And I think a lot could be said about this Chiefs team and being a plug-and-play situation with the way, you know, I think Isaiah Pacheco has really come into himself.
I love that
as a
cat.
Runner. He is an angry runner.
He
fights for extra yards.
Like, people forgot about him, and here
I am. He's exactly what they needed, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not the top pick that they needed him to be. They've relied on Jerick McKinnon and other backs in the past, but what we've really seen has been just, an awakening.
You were gone last week. I made a call. I said, don't people forget, Valdez will have a catch that will be impactful, the Lakewood Spartan graduate. And, of course, second week in a row, he certainly did.
He has stepped up in this playoffs. He has not been very consistent.
No, I know. He was down the highway. I mean,
yeah, people do not want to rely on him or Kadarius Toney in this Super Bowl.
They don't have to worry about Toney. What a clown.
Yeah, he has been. There was a bunch of edits going around on social media about the only people that could save us from a Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce Super Bowl was Lamar Jackson. Those edits are now turning their eyes to Kadarius Toney is the only person that can save us from another Super Bowl. He has had some ups and downs this season. It's been a lot more downs than ups.
That's the way to put it very professionally.
So I'm ultimately, I'm sure you've talked about it, we have a 2-point line on this game. I would lean towards Patrick Mahomes. I was trying to go to that game against Pittsburgh, Buffalo, because I thought there was a chance maybe the Steelers shut down Josh Allen and all the elements. Obviously, that doesn't happen because...
Did you get stuck in the airport, I think?
We got stuck in Philly. We did not make it all the way to Buffalo.
Worst place to get stuck, Philly.
Well, it was ironic because we watched the Bucks-Eagles playoff game in the wrong city.
But that was beautiful.
My girlfriend...
You're concerned about your safety, but it was beautiful.
I was concerned about my safety. My girlfriend, who made me take off my Bucks shirt that I had brought underneath my jersey... She put it on and then started outwardly cheering because she said I wasn't being a proud enough supporter of the Buccaneers. So
she did?
She did, yes. But
she seems like just a quiet, nice little lady.
She is, but she...
Philly!
A couple...
get stabbed.
Yeah, a couple Coronas got in her and she wanted to root on Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield. But hey...
Good for her.
The Eagles fans were pretty, they knew what was coming on that game. If there's one fan base that turns pessimistic on their team quickly, it's the Eagles.
Oh.
And they knew what was happening this offseason. So, I digress. as we saw, the Bills took care of the Steelers, and the Bucks took care of the Eagles, which, you know, shout out to the Bucks getting to the NFC. We were talking about it before the playoffs. Was Todd Bowles even going to be the coach if they lost that first game?
Well, they don't have to worry about that now.
We didn't have to worry about that now. So that's great. I hope Baker Mayfield's back in the Bay. I think he's been a great quarterback. He's been one of the most reliable quarterbacks.
I was hoping that no-show Ray Kennedy was going to be on for a few moments because I was going to have you hammer him on his constant minimization of Baker all season long.
Yeah.
And trash, trash, trash. Anything he posted, I'm like,
yeah.
You'd cream him with facts.
It's Baker Mayfield was arguably a top 10 quarterback this season just due to his reliability.
I love the cat.
His talent. I mean, the only times he looked bad was when he was injured, you know, and he still played through injuries throughout this season. I think a lot of Cleveland fans were very upset when he left town. He became the scapegoat for their inability to get wins in the playoffs. They kept Stefanski around. They make this huge deal for Deshaun Watson. And now looking back, I'm sure there's a lot of buyer's remorse in that deal and wishing that Baker Mayfield, who's just like a great guy, too. He's like he's a dude's quarterback.
I was just going to say, you know, I love the guy, being an old school guy. The linemen love him.
Mm-hmm.
The linebackers love him. He's a tough, you know what?
He's tough.
And people respect
fun to be
that.
Around,
other
too.
Football players, he's not a prima donna quarterback, don't touch me kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stick my nose in there anytime you need me to, fellas. I'm with you.
Yeah,
and I circle the wagons.
Exactly. I think he had a lot of unfair comparisons to Johnny Manziel coming out of college because he had that incident on the sidelines, grabbing his crotch, taunting the other team. He had the arrest
18-year-old.
Coming out of Kansas. Exactly. And I think he was the Heisman winner, obviously had a tremendous amount of success at Oklahoma. And I think people unfairly kind of
walk on.
Look, exactly. They cast aspersions on him. And once he got to Cleveland, I was the first kind of person to come around on him because, you know, you see him, he's at the Cleveland Guardians games, shotgun and beers, just like being for the city. And that's what he's done in Tampa. He's on Gasparilla week before. He's repping the white jerseys, the gas hockey jerseys at the Lightning game. He was with Anthony Volpe, of all people, too. So, you know what? I love to see a guy that reps the city, especially if he's going to be the face of the franchise and the Bucks kind of rebuild here. And, you know, a team that
he's a man of the people.
A lot of people, did not expect anything from this Bucks team. And here they were vying for a chance at the NFC Championship. They gave a great game to the Lions. And here we are now. Lions, like you said, defeated by the 49ers in a utter choke. Utter choke.
But. Okay, that's where I wanted to go. Your opinion on Campbell's decision?
I have
on both occasions to forego the field goal attempt, even though the field goal kicker obviously isn't one of the better in the league, to forego that on the road. I know it's been successful all season long.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I agreed with every decision that Campbell made. I think there's always going to be people that are going to doubt the decisions if they don't work out in the long run, but I agree with the field goal when they were up 21-7. Make it a three-score game at that point.
So he did make the right decision there.
Yeah, going into halftime, you get up 24-7.
I didn't think he was going to at first.
Now, if you
he
go,
wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to go. I thought he was going to. I mean, his MO all season is 4th-and-6 or less. There is a strong thought being made about going.
I like
for
those
it.
Kahunas.
So
those guys.
It's gonna bite you in the butt sometimes. And in this case, though, when you're up 21-7, if you get that touchdown there, 28-7 going into half is probably the nail in the coffin. As long as your defense doesn't have a spectacular meltdown, you can run the ball. They were playing great, but it was on the road. So you know what? I have no problem taking the 3 points, get into halftime up 3 scores. That makes complete sense to me. Then you just got to put some more points up in the second half. And that's what they didn't do. I think they went on a 28-0 run, the 49ers. And at that point, then you get into these decisions where do you go for it on fourth down? Do you take the field goal? Ultimately, I think there can never be a doubt for a guy that has buttered his bread on making aggressive decisions, trying to go for it.
It's
his personality. It's what's
his
gotten
teams.
This team to buy into his personality that's gotten them to this point. I have absolutely no issue with it. I think you can always second guess these decisions. Certain situations, maybe you get too aggressive. He's definitely gotten too aggressive in the past at times, and I think he's warranted
some of
the scrutiny.
This is his first head job.
But I think there's no question they could be back here next season. I mean, this is the first playoff win for the Lions in over 2 decades. You know, so we got to respect the ability that they've got.
They've got all the tools on offense. They're all coming back.
Goff has looked great. He was. Who would have thought that trade would end up the way it did?
Oh my God.
They have the talent on the offensive. Jameer Gibbs and David Montgomery were a two-headed monster in the
Iowa
backfield.
Iowa State running back. two Iowans on the defensive. One on the defensive side, and the rookie of the year from a tight end perspective from Iowa. Then we'll go to the San Francisco 49ers.
Sam LaPorta, man.
Sam LaPorta is the real
deal. Unreal.
And he's an Iowan, born and bred. And then George Kittle, and he's a Hawkeye. And then, of course, we've got the man that everybody minimized. And I tell you what, Brock Purdy. How about those wheels?
Yeah.
Nobody expected him to be able to. He had, what do you have, 81 yards?
In rushing? And he had critical runs, too. Like, extend the play, third down, long runs, back-breaking runs.
Mahomes
can
decision-wise.
Yeah, decision-wise, no. Yeah, that's Ben Brock Purdy's calling card, is he's a smart football player. He's not the most talented. He doesn't have the best arm, but he is very smart. He does not force
decisions. He's more than just a game manager, the one that counted.
Yeah, I think it's unfair to say he's a game manager, but I'm also not going to say he's, like, an elite quarterback in terms of skill set.
No.
So I think it's fair to.
He doesn't have the tools.
I think that's what it comes down to in this Super Bowl is, you know, we've seen now Patrick Mahomes beat Josh Allen yet again. We've seen him beat Lamar Jackson, who's going to be the MVP of this season. And now he's going to get an opponent who has Brock Purdy behind center. If you're going to give me that and you're going to give me plus money on the Chiefs, I mean. Not to mention.
You're not writing this down.
Yeah. Hey, I already took the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm already locked in for that. I also took Valdez to score two or more touchdowns.
No, horrible. No, not happening.
Horrible bet.
No.
Horrible.
Horrible. Oh, God.
No.
Can you get that money back?
I hope that hits, but I
mean, it says I can. It's $5 to win $155.
Get out. Run.
Wait, what is the thought process behind that? Give he me show your work.
Because he's from because he went to Lakewood High.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Well, hey, you know what? I'd rather bet on the Gatorade color myself than that.
You got to support the hometown guys. Come on. I'm already betting
on
the
Well, it's only $5. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you know,
there's your contribution to Greater St. Pete's representative in the Super Bowl. How about that?
Okay? I don't see it happening.
You got to support the hometown guys. That's why you root for Brett Phillips. That's why you root for Joey Crable. You know, that's why you do those things.
Well, there's Seminoles where you graduate right from.
There was a fun bet I saw on Hard Rock that had Rashee Rice or Deebo Samuel to lead the first quarter in total receiving yards at plus 210. I don't hate that. Those are the two most explosive players, most dynamic players on both offenses.
Yeah.
I'm not a big props guy. You know, I think those are, but at that value, I mean, you're getting two of the better players on both offenses.
Are you a parlay guy? I can't remember.
No. I do at most like a 3-leg parlay. I have friends that do the 7-leggers, the 8-leggers.
Oh yeah.
I'm for $5. Now I'd rather take that $5 and buy.
Now that I've got you alone without Oscar.
Yeah.
He would not fess up on the air. Who won in the ice pick six?
Oh, I crushed him.
I crushed him.
Yeah. Yeah. He had some rough weeks.
He rallied. Well, yeah. He had some real rough weeks.
He started off 0-6, I think, and I started off.
He rallied towards the end of the season, but he was so far in the hole.
No, yeah. He by down the stretch had some really nice. He had a 5-0. I don't think he ever had a 6-0 week.
That's
but he
why
had some,
the ice pick the pick six, week. You go with his picks.
Well, hey, I'm no genius, but I had some nice picks during the college football season. Made some nice bets. I took Iowa's under a handful of times, and that certainly was profitable throughout this season.
A dunce like myself would take that.
Well, hey.
My son, who follows it closely like you do,
they
pops. Hawks and under. And I kept saying, you're going to that well too often. No. If you bet the...
It was concerning by the end. I mean, like I said, they almost didn't get
it. And the bowl game?
Yeah, down the stretch.
Did you see 35 to nothing?
Yeah. Well, and that was it 35 nothing?
31 nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think the spread was 31 like 33, and they were knocking
31
the
to nothing
there. But, hey, credit to the Hawks. They cashed unders all season, and they made a...
Three cred for the worst offense in America. Yeah, there you go. At least we got... At least we have Caitlin that is carrying the Hawk torch.
Absolutely. I cannot.
Have you watched this Caitlin Clark, what she's been doing? This amazing player.
I mean,
I'm going to get you updated on
it.
It's a wonderful story for female sports.
I have seen people on Twitter kind of talking about how it takes like one athlete to kind of revolutionize a sport, especially if it's a sport that's kind of lesser known, lesser cared about. And I think it's 100% she has been that driving force. I mean, I think they were talking about the LSU...
Across all demographics.
The LSU-South Carolina game the other day out on TV.
10 million.
Yeah, it outpaced the Saturday night NBA game that was like Lakers-Celtics or something like that.
Yep.
So there is a huge demand for women's college basketball right now, and Caitlin Clark is the face of it with good reason. She does things that you just have not seen from women's basketball players in previous plays. She has like a Steph Curry-esque level swagger. It's incredible.
And across all demographics for the most part, because it's just an inspiring story. I know both her parents, and she is she's humble, and she gives back. And I think that's an important factor in today's world of the multimedia, to have a face of any brand or organization like her, and it's a big fact. All right, so we only got a few minutes. We got plenty of time on Big Monday, and that's from 6 to 8 right here on RadioSaintPete.com, FloridaSportsStreams.com. Alex Reba, I'll just be opening and closing and throwing a couple of comments here and there. Give us a little preview of what you're going to talk about.
College basketball. I've been itching. It's February. We are a month out.
I can talk college basketball with you.
I'm wearing my Final Four shirt right now. I mean, we had 150 games last Saturday. I think we're not far off from that total today. You already teased it. We get the Battle of Tobacco Road, my favorite rivalry in sports, arguably University of North Carolina versus Duke tonight in North Carolina. Well, excuse me, in Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill.
We got Penn State, Indiana going on right now. Penn State down by 4 at Assembly Hall. Hopefully they can run there.
Nittany Lion.
Credit to, we got UConn St. John's right now at MSG.
Go store, Ricky. Come on, Ricky P.
And that was only a 3.5-point line in that game.
I was talking about Rick Pitino before, remember?
Oh, yeah, we were.
Yeah, off air.
So outside of that, we already said some top matchups. Texas TCU, a nice little Lone Star battle at 2 o'clock today on ESPN. We have some other games, like you mentioned. You didn't mention Kentucky-Tennessee, another top 10 matchup.
Battle of 15 and 5.
We got Tennessee, the 5 seed, and Kentucky, the 10 seed. That one's going to be in Kentucky today. Give me the Kentucky Wildcats to win that one.
I've been to Rupp Arena. Great environment.
You need to get there. There's a lot of college basketball environments I got to get to.
I forget. Last night, I stayed up watching my Creighton Blue Jays. Did you see that game?
They stink. I have no faith in your Creighton Blue Jays.
Oh, my God.
They can't close games out.
No, they didn't. Last night, Butler.
Exactly. Butler's so they could sneak their way in if they have a nice little run in the Big East tournament.
The way it's projected, they could sneak their way.
They are a team you don't want to face.
But Creighton's at home last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Creighton cannot close games. That's their biggest issue. I've seen them against Villanova. They couldn't close a game.
And we're talking blatant choke plays.
Yeah, big time. Other one to look out, your Iowa State Cyclones taking on
Baylor
in Waco. That should be a fun one, little Big 12 matchup. And, of course, like you mentioned earlier, we had Houston, Kansas.
Yep.
Jayhawks at home, facing the number one defense in the country, those Houston Cougars.
They play D and they attack the boards.
Get ready. It's a race to 50 in those games.
How about those Iowa State Cyclones taking down Houston? That was huge.
Big win.
That's Hilton Magic.
Nice win for the Hawkeyes last night, too. I'm sure you watched that.
Absolutely.
Ohio State is now 0-16 in the last 16
road
games.
What has happened to that program?
Chris Holtman's on the outs. You can expect him. Mike Woodson probably will be departing as well. There's going to be some shakeups in the Big Ten coaching tree.
I grew up in that generation where, the Bobby Knight, the Big Ten was it. The Fab Five, the Big Ten.
Michigan, there's another one. Yeah. I think Juwan Howard on the outs after this season. But he said he's endorsing Brock Purdy and San Francisco 49ers now that, Harbaugh and the connection there. So,
all right. For Rowdy Soccer, Ryan Helfrich, Jim Hart, David Wilson, Brad Richardson, Alex Rebo, Wyatt Ross, Ben Botham, Joe Bedrol, Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.